2023 Prophetic School is here. It's a place where you hear God's voice clearly. So, get set for an encounter. Ministry, Pastor Benga Shafe, be blessed as you listen.
The discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits. Very much undiscussed, you know, because most people don't know what it is, or they don't understand it. But the discerning of spirits, if you operate in this gift, 8 over 10, or most of the time, 80% of the time, you are a prophet. Praise God. All right. Now, let me say something that I have not said, you know, since we started yesterday. And I want you to put this somewhere in your heart. The difference between somebody who is prophetic and somebody who is a prophet is not just in the gift selections that they have or the spiritual skill set that they have. It is the frequency with which they are able, the frequency and the capacity they are able to dispense while operating in those gifts. All right. I've been in meetings where, you know, I was with a couple of other ministers and we will begin to prophesy one after the other. And the next person who prophesy, who is also a prophet, will take the microphone and then they will continue from where the previous pastor or the minister stopped, and then will pass the mic over to me and I will continue. And I'll be continue to prophesy from that particular place. That's a very rare operation. All right. So there's a sense of frequency. Somebody who operates the gift of prophecy, you know, would prophesy more than a normal Christian who does not have the gift of prophecy. Somebody who has prophetic gifts, like the word of knowledge, will most likely know things about people more than the person with the gift of prophecy or the average believer who the Lord must have just spoken to maybe randomly, okay, about such things. So everybody who is a child of God can operate in any of these gifts depending on how the Holy Spirit chooses to. But there are some that are chosen and called into these things, into these specific offices. And what that means is that you are going to see them operate these gifts from a very strong and very powerful, you know, angle. So this is very, very important. Okay. Now, what is the discerning of spirit? All right. The discerning of spirit is the ability granted to prophets and prophetic people to see into the realm of spirits. Hallelujah. Let me repeat. The gift of the discerning of spirit is the ability granted to prophets or prophetic people. When I say prophetic people, whether you have the gift of prophecy or you have the gift of tongues and interpretation, or you have one of the revelation gifts, gift of word of knowledge or gift of the word of wisdom. The gift of the word of knowledge can operate by the Lord, you know, showing you something. It can also operate by the Lord speaking to you through your knower. You just know. The Lord could speak to you through the inner witness. The Lord could speak to you through the inward voice. The Lord could speak to you through your fellow brother or your fellow sister. The word of knowledge can flow out of anywhere. But the discerning of spirit is a seeing gift. It is that ability given to a Christian, to somebody who is prophetic, to see. So you find the discerning of spirits a lot more with seers. All right? When I speak about the seer anointing, I'm talking about people who see visions or revelation through their dreams. I'm talking about people who have open visions. I'm talking about people who have inner visions or what you call flashes. I'm talking about people who have trances. So the ability given by the Holy Spirit for you to see into the realm of spirit, is what we refer to as the discerning of spirit. This is also a unique gift. The discerning of spirit is a unique gift that enables the carrier of the gift to differentiate between spirits. When you find a spirit in manifestation or in operation, maybe in a particular church or in a fellowship, you're able to tell. For instance, one of the places you would find mostly the operation of witchcraft or the flesh are in places that are reputed to be prophetic. And you would find this a lot of times where you have people gathered in, or who claim to be prophets, but they have no government. There's nobody responsible for them, all right? You would find that in Acts chapter 13, when the prophets and teachers gathered, they were in unity, they were in order, and the Holy Spirit was able to speak to them. So you'll find wherever there's a high level of sensationalism or emotionalism, sometimes you say, oh, somebody is trying to lead us in worship, but it's really just a bunch of sensationalism or emotionalism. People may not be able to tell the difference between the song or the worship that is being released in that moment, as whether it's being, you know, empowered by the Holy Spirit or just because this person is emotional. Sometimes the Lord will allow you to see into the realm of spirit to be able to differentiate what is going on. Why the person with the word of knowledge could be given this revelation through his knower, through the Lord speaking by the still small voice, through the Lord speaking to him in the inward witness. The person operating in that same assembly or in that same fellowship with the gift of the Holy Spirit will not just hear, it will not just sense it, it would see it. All right? So this gift allows the carrier to differentiate between two different spirits, which one is of God and which one is not. You know, I've always said this particular, always referred to this particular story or a funny story, but it happened to me about a white garment, a red garment prophet actually, who, when I was much younger, he came towards the saloon where I was seated and I was just waiting to cut my hair. I was a younger person, and this man would go from shop to shop, and everybody there would come out and give him money. So apparently they knew him, all right? So this red garment prophet would go around and collect money, and then it would vibrate and twist and roll, and you know, it seemed like some kind of thing. He had like two people walking around with him. So it got to where I was seated. I mean, for Christ's sake, I didn't even have a job. So I needed the money. There's no way on earth I'm going to give you a dime when I also need that money. All right. And that's just me. All right. So the guy just, you know, this prophet came to me and then began to demonstrate. He would twist, he would roll, maybe trying to scare me. I wouldn't know. But, you know, I went to that place just wearing a t-shirt and slippers, you know, and maybe like a pair of trousers or jeans or something. But I looked very casual. There was no way on earth that guy could have ever suspected that this guy could be a prophet. There was no way on earth. So he tried to manipulate me, and I just sat down there, I was watching him. And then I really got upset, just the way Paul became upset when he had this woman prophesying to him and say, oh, these are the people who have come to show us the way of salvation. So he really got, you know, I really got upset. Then I faced him and I said, look, if you don't leave this place right now, I'm going to seize your gift. I will shut down that channel with which you are doing what you are doing. You will never be able to see it again. You will never recover. And, you know, the moment I said that, he stopped shaking. Then he looked into my eyes. Then he walked away. So the unique gift of the discerning of spirits helps you differentiate spirits. Just because somebody is Speaking so well, like you go for a meeting, you have this very motivational or inspirational speaker, doesn't mean he's called to the ministry. The guy may just be a fantastic speaker. And just because your pastor may be a very boring person, does not mean that he is not called by the Holy Spirit. All right? So you need to understand this. We are not making these decisions in the flesh. God has to reveal them to you. Okay? The gift of the discernment of spirit also helps you differentiate between the realms that you are experiencing. Is this the realm of the prophetic? Is this a Holy Ghost filled realm? Is this just sensationalism? Is this an atmosphere filled with fear? All right. So Papa Higgins spoke about praying for certain people, and he would find that there are a monkey-like demon, you know, sitting on their neck, and maybe this person is complaining of neck pain. He would find a demon that looks like a monkey, a small monkey, you know, wrapped around their neck. And the moment he saw them, they knew he had seen them. So when he rebuked them, they had to go. And let me say this. There are certain spirits you may not be able to deal with effectively if you don't know exactly what spirits you are dealing with. Because some of those spirits are very strong in hiding. They can camouflage. For instance, when you are dealing with a familiar spirit, you are dealing with a spirit that can camouflage and come to church with you. If the pastor gets on the altar and says, every spirit that is not of God, in the name of Jesus, leave this place now. Every other spirit may leave. Familiar may stay. Because the familiar is like part of you. It's been around you. He knows how to adjust to fit into the environment he has found himself. All right? So you those kind of demons, you can't deal with them, but those kind of spirits, until your spiritual eyes are open and you find that, oh, there's a spirit here. For instance, somebody is battling with waist pain, and you've prayed, you've taken drugs, you've seen the doctor, you've seen a specialist. Have you ever considered the fact that it could be an evil spirit that is operating there, and that's why it seems the drug are not working? So you need revelation, especially in the area of the discerning of spirits, to be able to see what exactly you are dealing with. I remember many years ago, one of my earliest experiences with the discerning of spirits was when I think I must have maybe been in maybe 200 level or so, or 300 level. And a lady walked up to me at the fellowship then, and she spoke about a particular brother who was like a younger brother to me, like we're all friends. And she began to complain that, oh, since he got admission into the university, he has not been stable spiritually. Now, the moment she said that, I had a vision, and I saw this particular brother, while the conversation was going on, like the proverbial parable that Jesus gave when he was speaking about the sower and the seed. And I was seeing this brother like a plant in the midst of thorns, and he was being choked. Immediately I said to the lady, I know exactly what is wrong with him. So I reached out to him and I said, hey, hi, how are you doing? How's school? He said, fine. I said, I saw you in the midst of some guys, but it seemed like they were not the right set of people, and spiritually you were being choked. You know, later he would speak to me and say that he was grateful that we had that conversation, because it actually pushed him to go back to his prayer altar, and he was able to, you know, disengage from those people. So you can go into offices and the Lord opens your eyes, you just see fear. You see the spirit of fear. Sometimes you see a dark cloud. You see a dark cloud. That's the operation of the discerning of spirit. You are seeing a dark cloud in that place, and you know that there's something going on here. Nobody told you. You now know how you need to pray. Okay? The discerning of spirit also helps you appreciate the kind of powers that are operating in a particular community, in a city, in a territory, in a state. And the Lord actually taught me a bit on this. If you go to our church website, theharvestword.org, I have about 11 or 12 part message on the unseen realm, the believers and spiritual warfare. And I spoke a bit about this. And something along this area of dealing with powers over territories. Okay, so this is very important. If you don't know the kind of spirits that rule certain areas, you may struggle and you may not really know what to do or how to manage situation. You may just find that you move, for instance, from if it's your first time, let's say I'm moving from Ibadan or Akure, and you relocate to Port Harcourt, somewhere in the heart of Port Harcourt, you just begin to wonder why all of a sudden you feel very, very wayward. You start feeling very wayward. You just want to go out there and sin, commit sexual immorality. You just want to start taking a lot of, alcohol. Or you come into a place like Lagos and you just realize that all of a sudden your spirit is drying up. You have to jump into this early morning bus, come back very late. You can't pray anymore. There's a spirit that is in that atmosphere that takes away the fervency of many Christians. So you are dealing with this kind of spirit. And so it helps you know how you need to pray. I always say to people who are relocating to new places, don't go in until you are taking your time to pray. Take your time to pray. Pray over those areas. Pray so that your heart will not be swallowed up. It takes the discerning of spirit many times to see the kind of demons that are operating here, and then you know how to disable their functionalities. Okay? In 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, the scripture tells us that there is such a thing as the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Okay? The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So if, for instance, your pastor has to change his message in order to preach or say something that you guys prefer to listen to, and if at that moment he was not led by the Holy Spirit to do that or to make that step, take that decision, is you know that, okay, there's such a thing as the spirit of error that is creeping in, all right? You could also find people, for instance, who will say, for instance, and this is just an example, really, I'm going to die before the end of this year. And you ask them why. They say, that's what God said. But you look at this person. This person is clearly battling with depression, okay? Clearly battling with depression. There's such a thing as the spirit of truth, the spirit of error. The spirit of error makes a person commit dangerous mistakes. It could be in the office, it could be in his marriage, it could be spiritually. You just find person is just something happens to the person, he starts making a lot of mistakes. Okay, so you can discern that, okay, there's a spirit of error here. There's such a thing as the spirit of truth, which is the counter to the spirit of error. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, John speaks to us and says, do not believe every spirit, but test them to know if they are of God. How do you test something that you do not know is there? So mostly, you will need the operation of the discerning of spirit. So like I did say, this gift has a very strong sight element to it. And let me also help you here. I've seen prophets, for instance, like Rick Joyner, who would say that many times his visions, the visions he sees, they could start like dreams, then they move into like closed visions. Closed visions, I'm talking about something you are seeing in your mind. You are seeing something is playing out like a movie script or like a flash. Then it moves into a form of trance where you are seeing something, but you can still pick a pen and write. And you are still seeing this vision. This has happened to me sometimes, a lot of times. When I'm reading Kenneth E. Hagin's books, I begin to see visions. I begin to have some of these very powerful experiences while reading Kenneth E. Hagin's book. Most times when I read materials that belong to prophets, I have some of this experience. So you can have some of these things. You are seen into another realm. At the same time, you are still here. Rick Jonas spoke about things that I'm trying to say, that the vision does not have to be a full-blown trance. You have to start from where you are and keep developing yourself. And that's why I spoke about the need for a strong prayer element. Very strong prayer element is very, very important. There is no way if you are called into the prophetic, or you have one prophetic gift, just one, like the gift of prophecy, or you have the gift of word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. If you don't have a strong prayer element to your life, you will fall into divination. Either you fall into divination and you are going to create a lot of mess and a lot of problems for people simply because you are not always on the flaming side. You are not burning for Christ. All right. So you need to have that strong element. I always tell people, I recommend at least once a quarter, go on a retreat for 3 days. Even while you are going to work, just try and fast. Take some time when you come back from work. Pray for like an hour or two, or if you can, do 3 hours. Or if you like, you want to do a Friday night, you know, Saturday night, and Sunday evening. Just spend that time, you know, praying, and especially praying extensively in the Holy Ghost. And this, let me give you something very stronger that will help you. And this really helped me. When I started praying at night, and I wanted to sharpen my prophetic gift. So I started praying at night. So I would hold the thought of that gift in my heart. For instance, the gift, the grace to know details about whoever I'm praying for, or a situation, or if I just want to know what's going to happen in the UK tomorrow or in the US next week. And I begin to pray, and I just hold the thought of the United States in my heart, and then the Lord will begin to speak. So I was praying for this grace, and I started praying at night. And I would pray extensively, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Some other rare times, I'll do 4 hours and just praying in tongues. While the only thing I'm doing is holding the thought of that request, that grace I'm trusting the Lord for, I'm holding it very strongly in my heart. And I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm praying. And when it seems like I'm losing touch or I'm getting that, then I remember, oh, I'm not where I need to be yet. Then I hold the thought again. And then I begin to pray, Lord, I need to be able to see clearly. Because the nature of the prophetic gift, there are a lot of people that believe in what I say. There are a lot of people who trust what I'm saying. I cannot afford to tell them the wrong thing. I cannot afford to make an innocent mistake. So I begin to pray and ask for mercy and ask for supernatural empowerment. Listen to me. There is something, I can't explain it. There is something unique or peculiar about prophetic people who pray extensively, you know, in the spirit, and people who pray at night. Listen to me. I can't explain it. There's something supernatural, powerful about praying midnight into the hours of the morning and praying in tongues while doing that. Or don't say anything in your understanding. Just pray in tongues. Just pray. Disappear, tougher, zealot. Just praying. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. You are just pushing the frontiers. And doing it consistently. The moment you do it consistently, by the third week, something is happening to your system. You will begin to see it at a very powerful, you know, powerful level. Okay, I remember sometimes I started praying. I was praying like three times, 4 times a week in the middle of the night. That season, I realized that even if I just sat down somewhere and I blinked, I wasn't sleeping, if I blinked my eye, that's like a reflex action or involuntary action. I would have seen like 2-3 visions in a millisecond. I couldn't explain it, but I noticed those things started when I started praying about my gift, asking for grace for that gift. And I started praying about it, you know, at night. So I promise you guys, I was going to tell you what I do. And this is some of the things that have really helped me. If I find that I'm becoming too busy, sometimes I may not even be fasting. I just move away from people and I moved maybe to the church during the day, and I just, you know, start praying, and I'm doing it alone. Nobody's disturbing me. The moment I do it, day one, day two, day three, something has started changing. So I'm telling you, because some of you are already manifesting the gift of the discerning of spirits through your dreams. Sometimes you have some of these flashes, you see things to come. You can tell, oh, this person is possessed by a spirit, is filled by a spirit of depression. You just saw it in the spirit. You can sharpen that gift by praying at night for hours and praying in tongues extensively. Even when you are driving, you can pray in tongues. I've had a lot of visions when driving, and it's amazing how you can be having a vision and you are driving and you are not having an accident. All right? So it's a very powerful gift. You need this gift. Even if you are not called as a prophet, you still need to ask the Lord for a measure of it. And the Bible says that we should covet earnestly the best the best gift. Praise the Lord. Earnestly, the best gift. Praise God. So you can desire it. And, you know, I was saying this yesterday, that when you are looking at 1 Corinthians 12, you need to look at some of these gifts. And the Bible says, convert earnestly. Convert. 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 So there's, you must have a strong desire, not just a desire. You must have a strong desire such that you get the attention of heaven. This is very, it is not a superficial. Sometimes this desire will be so strong, it will take away food from you. You just tell yourself, I want to wait on the Lord. Because, for instance, I've been through quite a bit, and I would have suffered incredibly if I did not see a vision or got a revelation from the Lord about how to go about some of the things that I went through.